This is a love story. It's honest, it's real, and it deals with drug addiction. Lauren started using drugs at age 10. Jay grew up in a home where drugs were a normal part of life. They would eventually find each other, but first, here's Lauren. She just had her third child, and during her pregnancy, she worked closely with her doctor to manage her addiction and prescriptions.
They said she was having mild withdrawal symptoms from the Suboxone, Subutex, and I was worried. I mean, I lost so much sleep throughout the whole pregnancy. I mean, I was just like beat myself up. Like, by this point, I know I'm an addict, right? Like, I've seen the chaos, and I like them saying, if you stop these drugs during this pregnancy, you're going to kill your baby. Like, we have to monitor you. So I went home with her, which was a blessing. They didn't have to put her in the NICU, but then she got jaundice and they admitted her right away. Her scores for the addiction skyrocketed and they had to start her on a morphine drip. She was just rigid, purple, no color. She wasn't relaxed. And as soon as they put that syringe in her mouth and gave it to her, she went pink. She relaxed. Like, the veins that were popping out went away. And for me, that was hard. I left the hospital. I went and drank a whole bottle of alcohol. And there goes the addiction again.
Jay's life was similar in that it led to a very lonely place. Drugs, alcohol, and parties were common in his boyhood home, and that lifestyle followed him into adulthood. He had three kids, which led to a very difficult decision.
I remember him pointing out in youth corrections, like, the cycle, you got to break this cycle somewhere. And it was just like really heavy on me. Like, I'm raising my kids to be end up in prison, end up in jail, end up on the streets, just like I did. And it was really scary to me. So I left and just pretty much walked away, which is a really shameful thing. I have a lot of a hard time even saying that, but you know, that's kind of where my addiction took me. Carried on to a life of the street, sleeping in canyons and motorhomes and hotels and just kind of anywhere for a solid 10 years. A life of uncertainty, and I was alone. No one ever felt like me. Then it happened. I met someone who did understand me. We were going through a lot of the same things, you know, completely didn't trust anyone, completely didn't have anyone. From there, I started really questioning, like, my own thoughts and actions in life.
Through this developing friendship, Lauren and Jay realized they could support each other in recovery by going to rehab. It wasn't easy, though, but they pushed through, and the walls started to come down, and courageous vulnerability began to blossom, an attribute that followed them into their life of recovery outside of rehab, where they started to give back. For Lauren, it was through yoga.
I was at home just sitting on Facebook and I saw this yoga teacher training and I call her up and I was honest. I'm like, I'm in recovery, like, just maybe 6 months. My checks are getting garnished like 50%. Like, I don't have money, but I need this training. Like, I can pay you $100 a month to do. And anyway, she's like, come do it. And I went and it was amazing, and we learned about the yamas and the niyamas, and they went in with my step work. I was working within the 12 steps, and it went worked in with the mind, body, spirit that I had learned at Clear Recovery. I had a passion for it because that's what helped me be okay in my body and just have moments of relief, and I wanted to give that back to others in recovery.
And that's what she did. She started by teaching a weekly yoga class at Clear Recovery of Cache Valley, a treatment center in Providence, where she and her husband, Jay, did their outpatient treatment. And then an opportunity opened up, and this power couple bought Clear Recovery and are now the owners, leaving proof to others struggling with addiction that recovery is possible and worth it.
I always pull people in and tell them, like, I believe in you. You know, I believe in you. That's powerful. That's one of my powerful punchlines, is just believing in people, because I remember what it feels like to have someone tell me that.
To learn more about recovery options, I spoke to Amber Keel, who works at Utah Addiction Center. She says that success is often found when people struggling with addiction go into treatment with the knowledge that addiction is a mental health issue and may also be accompanied by trauma.
And until those two things get treated, relapse is really high. There's a huge recovery community in Utah and Salt Lake City is more than willing to be their family until they can earn that trust back. Everyone has a different path of recovery, and to embrace that is going to be really important. So it's not a cookie cutter thing. One thing's going to work great for one individual, and it's not even going to remotely work for another. relapse doesn't mean it's a failure. It really is like a chance to pivot into something different. And I'm not one to judge, you know, MAT or harm reduction. Like, it's all about getting people resources, and they're out there. The important thing is that they're out there, and there are so many, and people don't have to feel lost. They don't have to feel forgotten, because there is a program out there that fits their specific needs.
Keel encourages people to keep exploring options and find what works for them, even if it's for the 100th time. There's resources available, and you can find a list of those at upr.org. With Utah Public Radio, I'm Danny Hayes.